Chapter 10. 8th August. Genuinely cool today. Glorious. Won't last. I keep having to go to the keep for sundry champion paperwork ephemera, and I noticed last week there's a stain right at the bottom of the stops. It looks brown and stubborn despite the scrub marks on the stone around it. In fact, it's where Dumar's head landed, and now that I've seen it, I can't stop seeing it. I asked Aveline, and she said she's noticed it too. She tried to get at it herself with lye while I was out, but she said it wouldn't budge. I didn't even know stone could take up blood like that. Although I suppose Kirkwall would be the place prone to that kind of thing. There's still no news of a new Viscount. Bran's running the place as best he can, which, as it happens, would be a good deal better if he'd stop wasting so much time rolling his eyes at me every time he sees me. But Lady Ashbridge said on Pellery's visit last week that there's rumors Meredith's just going to run the city instead. Surely they won't let that happen, though. How much power does one person need? Then again, it's Kirkwall. I should talk to Varric. In other news, took Sebastian to dinner the other day as thanks for accompanying me to the ball. Went to the Lime Pavilion, which has a 20 sov minimum plate. Both Varric at the helm, all my money does these days is make lots of tinier little baby monies, so I might as well get some use out of it. He had beef that came in a glass bowl with gold around the edges, and I had fish that was cut in the shape of a fish. Made it even worse that it was the most delicious thing I've had in months. Spent the whole meal quietly panicking about which of my 3 forks to use. Served me right for trying to cater to royalty's nobler instincts. Sebastian covered for me well, but I'd just as soon sit with Isabella off the docks, swigging green liquor from a cracked bottle. Haven't heard from her even once since Cloudreach. I hope she's alive. 16th August. Light showers all day, just enough to curl my hair into a right rat's nest. I think I'm going to set Pellery up with my next-door neighbor. Jewel is clever and kind, and not quite as flat beneath her mother's foot, and she's got a great deal more in common with Pellery than I do. Forgot to get a bit of drake ichor out from behind my ears the other day, and Pellery turned so green she might have grown gills. Her mother didn't care for it either. Need to stop being jealous over people with mothers. The last two sentences are scratched out. Besides, even if Jewel's not as flashy a catch, she's likely got a much better life expectancy. Meant that to be funny, not bitter. Oh well. 23rd August. Cooler again. A bit salty, with some northerly winds off the coast. Had a nice moment today I didn't expect. I was sitting out back under the yew tree, trying to see if I felt any different with only one kidney, when I heard the back door open and out came Sandal with a bit of wood and a carving knife. He didn't say anything, just sat next to me on the stone bench and quietly began shaping it into something small. Something with wings. It was rather lovely, actually. Hit up for this miserable All Souls Day at the beginning of August. Everyone dancing on their toes around Mother, as if it might turn to glass at the slightest memory of her. Can't help but feel Isabella would have... The last few words are scratched out. Slightest memory of her. Sandal hummed something I almost recognized while he was sitting with me. Then Bowden came out, and that moment was gone, but in favor of one just as pleasant, because he sat with us on the bench too. The benefit of a wide bench and 2 dwarvish sets of hips, I suppose. And with only the teeniest bit of coaxing, he began telling us... me? About some of his travels with the hero of Ferelden. Some days I wish I were her. Or, at least, I wish I had her enemies. It must have been so nice knowing what you fought was evil through and through. 24th August. Still cool. Dreamed last night I was trying to save Mother from the Foundry, but she kept turning into Darkspawn. Might know they're evil, but that doesn't help the horror of the twisted, slavering teeth. At least Meredith is people-shaped. Ugh, can't get rid of these chills. I wonder if Varric has anything that needs doing. Second Kingsway. Saw the first orange leaf today and nearly cried from joy. Went to the gallows this morning to talk to Silividus. Had some harlot's blush I thought he might like, which he did, but for the first time I found myself not entirely at ease with the way the Templar's eyes followed me the whole trip. I hadn't been there since the error shock, and maker but I was glad Fenris and Aveline came with me. I don't think they'd try anything without Meredith's say-so, but this was the first time I felt that little tingling what-if in the back of my skull telling me I'd better watch my hide. I'd be packing up tonight, if this were Lothering. Anyway, while I was there, I saw a girl that looked terribly familiar darting about between some of those market stands. Turns out she's Pellery's little sister, not 16 yet, who got caught making inkwells tip over from the back of the room while she was away at school. The Ashbridges called some favors and had her placed here, where they could visit. More than I thought of Lady Ashbridge, even if I wouldn't send my most hated Feather Boa into their care. Meant the Gallows Templars, but to be quite honest, the Ashbridges too. Pellery says she's been trying to send their grandmother's necklace to her, but she's afraid they'll take it away. Jewel, very kind about me crashing their tea, said she'd heard gallows apprentices are allowed very few personal possessions, but she knew a family who used to send their son fritters and preserves and things all the time, so there might be some strings to pull if I can find them. Oh, what's this damned title for, if not string pulling? Eighth Kingsway. Brisk, and with the faintest smell of those crisp autumn apples from the cart down the street. Went to the gallows again today. Saw Cullen, who sighs when I come into his office, but at least doesn't reach for a guard's whistle, and told him I wanted Pellery's sister to be given her family necklace. He argued with me for a good bit about keeping apprentices focused sharp on their studies and the risk of reminders of family ties compromising their emotional blah 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 blah. I said I'd work on that rumor about the Blood Mage cult springing up in Darktown if he'd let her keep it. And he said yes. My skin has been crawling since I left that place. And that was almost 3 hours ago. What if that were me? What if that were Bethany? Later. For the first time in my life, I thought to myself, thank goodness she died first, after I wrote that line above, and it's rattled me so badly that I can't... Maker. I hate. Fifteenth Kingsway. One last damned heat wave. The Maker's mocking me. Her and Joss Day is instead, and I've just been rejected by every higher power ever thought twice about sending the city even the faintest zephyr of relief. Asked Toby today if he wanted another dog in the house. He gave me the archest look I've ever seen on Ambari's face and stalked in high dudgeon to the back garden, where he very deliberately pissed on the stone bench. Haven't offended him that badly since I tied him all over in yellow ribbon and asked him to dance the Remigold with me. I'd forgotten how drunk I was at that party. The last sentence is scratched out. Anders and Meryl and I are going to the southern side of Sundermount tomorrow. Anders needs elf root and more spindleweed, and Meryl thinks there might be a supply of ironbark somewhere there she can use to create or work on or something for her all and... Oh, hells. How the way do you spell that word? I was considering asking Varric for a fourth just in case, as Aveline has another, and another, and another, and another, evening with Donnick planned. For as much as she went through getting to the city in the first place, I hate to take her away from the one shining light she's found in it so far. On the other hand, she does have our own glorious friendship as a second, equally bright shining light. Maybe I can call that in as the cheap bargaining tactician that I am. Later. Aveline said no. Varric said no. Sebastian said no. Meryl said, A-R-U-L-I-N apostrophe H-O-L-M. Fenris said yes, and then no when he heard who was going, and then yes again when I said Anders. The last word is scratched out. When I said they would probably be so interested in their own collecting that Anders... The last word is scratched out. Collecting that they would hardly have time to needle. Also, I begged. 16th Kingsway. I am cursed beyond the ken of mortal memory. We're stranded on the damn mountain. It was cloudy when we left, and only got darker, but everyone said to keep going. We could beat the rain before it got bad. Ha! Huh? Had to take a narrow path to get to this ironbark of Merrill's, and while we were up the cliffs, a freak storm came from nowhere and washed the whole path to a great lot of boulders and rotten logs. Stopped raining not 20 minutes later, but the damage was already done. Merrill's been looking for another way down, but it's almost dusk, and I think we'll have to camp. I keep expecting Fenris and Anders to be either furious or intolerably snippy, but every time I accidentally make eye contact, despite the enormous effort I'm exerting to avoid exactly that, they both seem perfectly cheerful. Well, as cheerful as they get. Anders even smiled at some comment Fenris made about how once when he slept outside, a handful of territorial crows chased him right out of a tree. Almost said it could be worse. At least Merrill's managed to get a fire going. Everything soaked to the bone. 24th Kingsway. Still cold. Damp. Foggy. Gray. Made it home from Sundermount, obviously, and all four of us have the most glorious head colds to show for it. Merrill and I ended up having to carve through a good deal of the detritus from the landslide with magic, which even Fenris didn't blink at, given the alternative was another night in the open air. Cold, frosty open air, with occasional winds sharp enough to split a nose hair. I was strongly inclined to see what Anders' healing could do for this, but he says a head cold won't kill any of us, and it's good to let the body fight on its own occasionally, which sounded so much like my father I left his clinic in perfect childlike resentment. That was yesterday. Surely if I tell him I'm dying today, he won't mind if I touch myself up. Just a little. My nose is both so stuffy I can't breathe and running so badly I've taken to shoving napkins up it all morning. How blightedly unfair. All this nonsense, and I can't even breathe to complain about it properly. Twenty-fifth Kingsway. See previous. Bloody unchanged. And no, I'm not upset about it. Why do you ask? Maker and all his holy works, but Fenris is pitiful. Never have I seen an elf laid so low by a little fever in a stop's nose. I went over this morning with Son of Arano's father's soup just in case, but he was cocooned so deep in his blankets all I could see was the very tip of one dark pointed ear. Then he told me to go away with the saddest little sneeze right in the middle of a word. Made him finish the soup and drink an entire glass of water. He called me a Taventer word that he claims means sadist, but he did at least uncocoon long enough to say goodbye. I keep wondering if he's ever had anyone bother to care he was sick before. At least, that he remembers. Somehow I doubt it. 26th Kingsway, somewhere around midnight. I don't know. Fenris's fever worsened all day today, until by late afternoon I couldn't rouse him properly. Anders came by around dinner and must have seen the panic in my face, because the first thing he told me after examining him was that he'd be fine. He left a vial of something thick. I recognized the elf root and I think embryum, but to be honest, I was watching Fenris struggle to turn over, and said he should have a teaspoon every hour until breakfast tomorrow. He said he'd be fine. We just have to wait for the fever to take its course. Flames. He looks awful, even asleep. Gray in the face, and he's got a chesty cough that sounds wet. The first time it happened, I had a violent flash to Carver in the deep roads and nearly upset the lunch tray. Anders and I both worked what healing we could, but there's only so much to be done for something like this. Maker, my father's death taught me that, and that was almost 10 years ago. Anders said he'd be fine. He didn't even stay, which of itself is enough to tell me there's nothing to worry about. If Fenris feels half as bad as he looks, he must feel like death. Later. Early? failed to occur to me that in the absence of pinned candles, the only way to make sure Fenris gets one of these doses every hour is to stay up myself. Not much gets by my eagle's eyes these days, but I suppose even the most avid hunter misses one once in a while. Third bow.
Hawk's eyes! Damn!
Fourth bow in a bit. Fenris woke up this time, just for a few minutes. He's not really been present since afternoon, so it was a relief to see lucidity. Tired, too, but one must make allowances here and there. He was enough himself to complain about the sourness of the potion. I told him if he felt able to be picky about the taste, he ought to be able to take another cup of soup and some water, and he called me the Devinter Sadist again. He just went back to sleep, but he still looks terrible. His breathing is better, though. Almost fifth bow, still dark as pitch. First time I've ever been truly glad I live so close to this blasted elf. Was able to run home and dig out some spare linens from one of Arana's closets before I had to wake him again. He sweated his pillow through and his sheets are soaked. If he's still improving on this next dose, I'll roll him off long enough to get the fresh sheets down. Half past. Still darker than light outside, though the horizon's fading a bit gray. He just went back to sleep. Got the new sheets on. He didn't understand why at first, which I didn't know what to say to that, except I knew he'd feel acres better on clean, dry bedclothes, and I intended to change them whether he was willing or not. He wouldn't admit it out loud, but it was plain he was relieved to be out of that damp mess. I was too, if I'm being honest. Anyway, he wasn't eager to go back to sleep after, despite the potion putting him just a touch loopy. We chatted about nothing of consequence. Only Toby and Apples and Varric's latest pamphlet about the championship ceremony and how the weight of that iron circlet has bent better heads than mine, and only time will tell how I carry its burden, etc., etc. Sometimes I wish Varric lent a little less effort to dramatic irony and a little more to my public credentiality. Credentials? Talked a bit about Stinton and Pellery and the rest, too. I told him I was doing well enough with their mothers, but that Lady Ashbridge might resent me pushing Pellery into the arms of another woman right under her nose. Ah, but such is the uneven course of love. He asked me about his sister twice near the end, which was how I knew the potion was kicking in at last. I had nothing I could tell him either way, and the second time I'm not even certain he was talking to me. He asked if she was real. Maker. I wish I knew. It's not right that no one but me cares if Fenris is uncomfortable and illness damp sheets. Almost seventh bell. Flames. Dozed off in the chair with a broken foot just before sixth bell. Didn't come close to waking until a marvelously inconsiderate sunbeam punched me right in the eyes over Fenris's windowsill, at which point I dropped my elbow off the armrest and gave myself whiplash, trying not to tumble from the chair altogether. Other arm stayed put, though, and Fenris didn't even stir, which is the only reason I know he took hold of my hand while I was asleep, and possibly while he was asleep, which is the only reason I refused to read more into it. His fingers were laced through mine, and the lyrium was humming ever so faintly, just enough that I could feel the shiver as I let him go. I could have stayed there for hours, I think, if I hadn't pulled the void out of my neck sleeping sideways in that chair. His color's almost normal again, though he's still a trifle wan. Thank you, Andraste. Not that I was worried. I wasn't worried. Anders said he'd be fine. I just wanted... Someone this sick ought to have a friend take care of them until they're well. Everyone deserves at least that much. Oh, I think he's beginning to wake up.